brothers and sisters in Christ. How good it is to join in together in person and with those online as we continue this Lenten journey. Sometimes to see where we are and know where we're going, we have to look at where we've been. To recall our path, we began with Pastor Vern on Ash Wednesday telling us about Joseph, the favored son of Jacob, the firstborn son of Rachel. The next week, we had Pastor Perry telling us about Joseph's fall when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, taken to Egypt. The brothers lied to their father about Joseph, and this crushed Jacob. Then the following week, Nathan told us about Jacob being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Last week, Pastor Perry told us about Joseph waiting on the Lord. And Joseph was then freed from prison and made the second in charge of all of Egypt. This week, we're going to look at the brothers of Joseph as we continue down that path toward the cross on Good Friday. Dreams really do come true. At least they did for Joseph. It had been a good 20 years since a teenage Joseph had the dream of his brothers bowing down in front of him. Tonight, we see 10 of those brothers down on their knees before Joseph with their faces to the ground. They were hungry. The whole world was hungry. Pharaoh's dreams about 7 years of plenty had come to pass, and now they were in the 7 years of famine. It was happening so fast, just as Joseph had dreamt and foreseen. Dreams really do come true. This is wonderful when the dreams are good, but sometimes those dreams are nightmares. For Joseph's brothers, the nightmare was about to begin. For 2 decades, they had been living a lie. For 20 years, they had been hiding a deep, dark secret. They had sold their own brother into a life of slavery and misery. They had lied to their father. They had broken his heart by telling him that Joseph was dead. Their hatred had its way with Joseph, and they smugly concealed their sin. But now they were bowing down before Joseph, second in command of all of Egypt, and they didn't even recognize him. Soon they would be chased, hounded, and tortured by their own guilty conscience. As many of you know, before coming to the seminary, I was in law enforcement for a little over 30 years. And during that time, I investigated many evil deeds that people have done to one another. And people would try to cover up these wrongs as much as they could. What I found was no matter how hard they tried to cover up their wrong, it stained their life. It stained their conscience. It was like a stain on a board that seeped in and could not be removed. I could see it in their body language. I could hear it in their voice. And I could see it in problems that would manifest in other parts of their life. Sometimes it manifested in lies, other times in addictions, in failed relationships, and other misconduct. The person thought that this evil deed was hidden and behind them in the past, but it was only staining other areas of their life. It changes. It stays with you. It's always on your mind, combining with other wrongs, synergistically, making everything look dark. When this happens, you get a little paranoid. You get scared of your own shadow. And you're concerned about hiding the darkness from others. You're sure the stain of your own sin and shame is coming to light. A bad or guilty conscience affects your view of the world in the same way. When we push away the light of truth, it makes everything seem dark and stained. If we say we have no sin, if we conceal and cover up that sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The key word there is cleanse. If a guilty conscience is like the stain of darkness, then repentance is when the Lord cleanses the stain of darkness from us so that we can see the world bathed in the crystal clarity of our Lord's light, life, and love. so that we can be cleansed and restored, so that we can be joyful. Repentance restores our reality to our worldview. Confession and absolution is the only solution for a dark, sin-stained, fearful conscience. But the journey from a bad conscience to a clean conscience is not easy. In fact, it's a journey we cannot make without the Lord's help. And this help from the Lord is not always what you might imagine. A conscience that is smug and comfortable cannot be cleansed. God's law must first work on this to curb, mirror, and guide us. This is why Joseph initially acts so harshly with his brothers. This is why Joseph doesn't reveal himself to his brothers right away. This is why he treats them like strangers and he speaks roughly to them. This is why Joseph brings the sin to their remembrance. Martin Luther framed it like this: thus the sons of Jacob have an evil conscience. Therefore they tremble horribly and fear God's vengeance. But the situation of the brothers is even more dire. Their collective conscience is in critical condition. It's causing them to dread what lies around each and every corner. Martin Luther continued, these brothers are not only troubled about the sin of which they were conscious, although they took great pains to cover and conceal it, but they were also afraid of their words and deeds, and they imagined that there was a new guilt in every action or thought. In fact, as soon as Joseph demanded that they go and fetch their youngest brother and bring him down to Egypt, they say to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress on his soul when he begged us and we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. Reuben then replied, now there comes a reckoning for his blood. The diagnosis could not be clearer. The symptoms have manifested. These brothers are being chased by a sin-stained conscience from sin 20 years ago that they had hidden. Now it seems to them that they are getting their just deserts. Their sin is coming back to bite them. Justice is about to be served. Revenge and retribution are closing in quickly. But in reality, what feels so painful to them is neither karma nor punishment. Joseph isn't just toying with them. They are simply being led down the road of repentance. The pain they feel so sharply will lead to purity. Their conscience is being crushed so that it might be cleansed of sin. Like Joseph's brothers, we too know what it feels like to be chased by a guilty conscience, to have our view of the world dimmed by the stain of our own sin. Reuben is right when he spoke about a reckoning for the blood. Reuben's restless conscience sensed that a bloody reckoning was coming, that their sin would have to be answered for by the shedding of blood. Reuben didn't know how right he was. It's also true for us. Our sins must be answered for. It cannot be covered up forever. Either you must answer for your sin and face the fallout, or your Savior must answer for it and bear it all away. What Reuben could only sense, we know for certain. We see it play out before our eyes this holy season of Lent as we look back on the bloody reckoning that Jesus endured in our stead. Although he was pure and sinless, his blood was shed to pay for our sin. He endured the pain of cross so that you might know purity and peace. Darkness covered the land when he died so that you might be cleansed of every sin. Jesus Christ has answered for all your sins, cleansing you of the faith. The only question is whether you have the faith to believe. In tonight's reading from the Passion, according to St. Luke, we hear about the scene involving Jesus and Barabbas. Barabbas was a rebel. Today we would call him a terrorist. He was a murderer who had shed the blood of innocent people. He was guilty on all counts, and he was about to face the reckoning for his evil acts. But at the insistence of the crowd that desired darkness, guilty Barabbas went free, and innocent Jesus was delivered over to death. The man who shed innocent blood goes free, and the innocent man goes to the cross to shed his innocent blood so that you can be cleansed of all unrighteousness. This is God's remedy for the tragedy of our sin. The Lord Jesus has a gift for you. It's a gift of a clean conscience. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to be cleansed, or you don't have to be chased and hounded by a dimmed worldview, by a sin-stained, dirty conscience. You can live each day in bright clarity of our Lord's forgiveness and peace. You don't have to be afraid of the truth. For your sins, Jesus Christ has paid the price and wiped them away. He has removed your stain. Justice has been served on his cross. And your conscience has been cleansed by his holy and precious blood. Amen.